All right, our next speaker is Elena Koneva. I'm not sure if that's correct. Okay, thank you.
Good morning, everyone. After this talk about table grapes, I'm going to transition into a new technology and all the challenges that we're having trying to implement it in our state of Alabama, where we're dealing with a very significant problem, which other grape-growing regions are aware of, probably, but they don't experience this to the same extent, maybe. So let me start with this a little bit statistical information. That previous speaker already mentioned that table grape, U.S. is number 7 in the world in terms of table grape production. According to some numbers that I've got, U.S. is number 3 in the world in terms of grape production as a whole, following China and Italy. And the other interesting fact that I found, actually, in 2010, the U.S. Wine Institute concluded that now the nation is the largest wine-consuming nation in the world. So this kind of draws some new trends. What is the situation in Alabama? According to the 2012 census, we're experiencing about 11% increase in acreage of growing grapes. And I'll mention that you're familiar with the fact that genus Vitis has 60 different species, and they're mainly kind of divided into two major groups, Vitis vinifera, or European group, and the American group with many species. The difference between the two types of grapes, Vitis vinifera has a very good fruit quality, but poor resistance to number of pests, including Pierce's disease, and this is just vice versa for the American group, which includes a lot of what we call hybrid bunch grapes. And I have excluded from this information Muscadinia rotundifolia, which was previously considered to be Vitis rotundifolia, but in 2010, Dr. Keller kind of separated it in a different genera. But that's what we are able to grow in southeastern states with not much of a problem. So why cultivation of vinifera is challenging or almost impossible in southeastern states? Well, this is being predetermined by our climate, which is considered continental with hot and humid summers and cold, dry winters. But also we have a really high pressure of number of diseases and insects, between them phylloxera and Pierce's disease. I already mentioned that the types of grapes that could be grown successfully in southeastern states must be Pierce's disease resistant, must be bred to have this resistance or tolerance. And those are mainly cultivars that are selected from native species or hybrids between native species or some hybrids between native species and Vitis vinifera cultivars. And here I wanted to kind of highlight some of the basic information of, about this disease and complex of disease and vectors. Pierce's disease, for those of you who are probably from the north and not familiar with Pierce's disease, it's a devastating grapevine disease. It's caused by a certain bacteria. The name of it is Xylella fastidiosa, and this bacterium blocks the xylem of the plant and prevents the transportation of water and minerals to plant organs. Very soon in our conditions, if we plant a new vinifera grape in the field, within 1 or 2 months, the plant is already dead. The vector of this disease is from the group of glassy-winged sharpshooters, and our recent studies in Alabama have established that we're dealing with 29 species of glassy-winged sharpshooters, which are known from the literature to be efficient vectors of Xylella or Pierce's disease. Of course, there are some spittlebugs, and we have spittlebugs also, but we did not focus our study on them. So what are the symptoms of this devastating disease? It starts with some leaf chlorosis and scorching, as you can see on this picture. And later in the season, well, those symptoms may appear in the mid of the summer. And later in the season, around fall time, we're looking at some what we call matchstick symptoms. As you can see on the picture, the leaves have dropped, but the petiole remain attached to the fruiting, to the shoot. So both of those symptoms could be mistaken could be symptoms of induced by other factors like salt burn, salt toxicity, or drought stress. But we also have one what we call unique symptom of Pierce's disease called Green Island, and you can see on this picture that the bark of the infected cane matures unevenly, leaving sections of mature brown wood on the periderm with islands of immature or green wood. What has changed the picture for us, and what gave us kind of the hope that we can try growing viniferous in southeastern states? Well, this was the advancement done at the UC Davis grape breeding program there. When the sharpshooter from southeastern states was introduced to California in 1996, the problem with Pierce's disease over there kind of exploded, and a lot of research has been initiated to find a solution. Between those research projects, scientists have kind of tested or screened a lot of germplasm for resistance for Pierce's disease, and fortunately, a single gene of resistance was found in Vitis arizonica. This is a plant that grows natively in North Mexico, and some back crosses or classical breeding has been initiated implementing Vitis arizonica and Vitis vinifera. Those new generations have been tested in lab and field conditions, and they proved to be Pierce's disease resistant. One of the first generations with Pierce's disease resistance and close to 88% Vitis vinifera in their pedigree have been tested for the quality of wine that is being produced of them, and it wasn't found to be of extremely good quality, but anyhow, the breeder agreed to send to us three of his Vitis vinifera selections with Pierce's disease resistance for testing in our conditions and in our high Pierce's disease risk environment. So the objectives of our study was to evaluate the overall feasibility of growing viniferous in our challenging environment, and as an integral part of it, we wanted to see what is the quality of the fruit that is being produced from those vinifera in our climate. As I mentioned, we got those three selections. The first two, one of them is with early ripening. The second selection is with mid-season ripening. And both of them have about 50% Chardonnay in their pedigree. And the last late ripening selection has about 50% Syrah. All of those were grafted on dog-rich rootstock, which is Pierce's disease resistant rootstock, and we established the vineyard in 2010 in central Alabama, our Chilton Research and Extension Center. We had randomized complete design with 6 replications and 5 vines per replication. We trained the grapes as vertical shoot positioning system, and here I'm showing the growth of the plant at the end of their first season. You can see that we used those growth tubes to try to exclude the damage from herbicides and kind of accelerate the establishment of the root system in the ground. So with this, I'll transition to our results, and wanted to mention that trunk growth is usually a measure of the how fast and how how fast and how much the plant would grow. So we were comparing those numbers for the last two seasons, and we saw significant difference between our selections. Our late ripening selection was found to be the less vigorous one. And we also collected data on wine pruning weight during the dormancy pruning when we conducted the last two seasons. We are interested to know how to eventually strategize in terms of crop load in the future, crop load management. So those data kind of followed similar tendencies. The season of maturity differed significantly between the 2 years, but in 2012 we had more kind of typical conditions. 2013 we experienced very prolonged cold and very wet spring and summer seasons. We experienced this delay in ripening that accounted for 36 days. Again, in 2013, the season of maturity of our mid-season and late-season selections overlapped, so we're interested to see what we're going to observe this year. In terms of total yield per plant, I think those are prolific croppers because, as you can see, those numbers, the white columns represent 2012 and the red is 2013 data. 2013, all of the selections produced a crop that is considered to be within the optimal ranges for Vitis vinifera cultivars, between 4 and 6 kilograms per plant. As you can see, 2013, we had over 8 kilograms per plant, or 30% over the optimal ranges for our late ripening selection. So obviously we need different crop load strategies to maintain the balance of the vines. In terms of total number of clusters per vine, we had early ripening having approximately one cluster per vine, mid-season about 1.5, and three clusters on average per vine for our late ripening selection. So it's extremely highly cropping variety. Mean cluster weight, we were interested to evaluate as part of the overall fruit quality. In 2013, we had our early ripening selection being producing the largest clusters. Clusters were smaller for the late ripening, but having in mind the high number of clusters per plant, we had the highest crop for the late ripening cultivar. In terms of berry weight, our mid-season selection had the largest berries, 3 grams on average. And our sweetest berries were produced by our late ripening selection, over 24% bricks. And I wanted to summarize some of the features for each of those selections. Our early ripening had the lowest pruning weight, but produced a very good yield and the largest clusters. Mid-season selection provided the largest berries. You can see that the cluster is very dense. It's a very vigorously growing plant with high productivity. Our late ripening selection had the highest number of clusters, and obviously it's overcropping. We need to think of probably a shoot and cluster thinning. This is also the highest yielding cultivar with the sweetest berries. Our commercial wine industry was interested to get the fruit, and they produced some wine from the late ripening selection in 2013, and they were very pleased with the quality of wine produced from those selections locally. So we have high hopes that those selections are going to do any good, not only in Alabama, but in the entire southeastern region in the future. We have a grower who just established a new acreage to plant some of those selections with the permission from the breeder in California. Am I over my time? Oh, okay. I thought I would be.
We have time for maybe one question quickly. Anything? No, thank you.
Thank you.